What on earth is God up to? Has he really said that? Why has this happened to me? What's going on in the church? Is God really in charge? Questions we'll all have asked from time to time, I'm sure. Good questions, honest questions, and questions the Israelites were asking as God led them out of Egypt. The Israelites were in a tight spot, weren't they? God had been faithful to his promise to free them from slavery in Egypt. He'd given them the great sign of the blood of the lamb on their doorpost on that first Passover. God had led them out of Egypt with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He'd accomplished what he'd promised to do. He'd rescued his people from captivity. We know from previous weeks that the Passover rescue points forward to the rescue from sin and death achieved for all of those of us who trust Jesus for ourselves by Jesus on the cross. And just like the Egyptians had God clearly leading their way through the wilderness, so we have God clearly leading our way through life. God is faithful and God is trustworthy. He didn't leave his people, the Israelites, guessing the way out of Egypt or guessing the way towards the promised land. They followed him in that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire. And they had Moses speak his words directly to him for them. And he doesn't leave his people today, believing Christians, guessing our way out of captivity to the world, the flesh and the devil, as the baptism service says, and guessing our way into heaven. He doesn't appear to us in a cloud. He doesn't appear to us in fire. And we don't have Moses standing there in front of us speaking God's words directly to us in the same way, do we? Today, God clearly guides us by his word, the Bible, as the Spirit teaches it to our hearts. I wonder, did you notice in verse 17 of chapter 13, have a look with me, that the first verse that Chris read for us, that God didn't lead his people the way that Google Maps would have taken them. They had to go a different way, a roundabout way. Why? Because it wouldn't have been good for them to have gone the way that they'd have thought the most obvious. They'd have been picked off one by one if they'd gone that way by another set of enemies, this time the Philistines. God knew what was best for his people, and so he led them the best way, the safe way, out of Egypt. And in the same way, God leads us out of captivity to sin and towards our heavenly promised land. Not the way we might expect. The way might be surprising sometimes. If you ask someone who'd never heard the gospel, never read the Bible for themselves, to tell you or to jot down how God might bring his rescue about today, I'm sure they would never come up with the way he does rescue us. Jesus talked about the narrow way, didn't he? He says in Matthew's gospel, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that one. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The way to heaven isn't the most obvious. But God takes his people that way as he leads us by his Spirit through his word. The Christian life takes twists and turns, doesn't it? Often we find ourselves at odds with what the world around us is saying, singing from a different hymn sheet, so to speak, from the people who aren't Christians. But God takes his people that way as he leads us by his Spirit through his word. You see, God is faithful, God is good, God is kind, and God is powerful. And so we trust him and we follow him, even if it's not in the direction that anyone might have imagined. And so here's the first thing that we've found out about God this afternoon. We can trust our faithful God who leads his people to safety. Secondly, we can trust our faithful God who thoroughly rescues us from our greatest enemies. So God had led his people out of Egypt and into the desert. Pharaoh had finally said to them on that first Passover night, he'd said, "Go, just go." Pharaoh must have thought that he was having a bad dream, because 14 verse 5, have a look with me at 14 verse 5 on page 71. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and we've lost their services." So he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of his best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Yet again, Pharaoh had changed his mind, and the Egyptians, God's people's greatest enemies, were after them once again. The Israelites found themselves pinned between the advancing Egyptian army on one side in front of them and the Red Sea behind them, as they turned round and looked and saw the army coming towards them. What were they to do? They were terrified. In verse 11, which we didn't have read, they're reported to have yelled at Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than die in the desert." They'd forgotten to trust God, who was in the middle of rescuing them. I wonder how your trust in God is today. Do you ever feel a bit like those Israelites felt, stuck between God's rescue and something else that's going on in your life? Stuck between God's rescue and your old way of life from before you were a Christian? Perhaps illness, doubt, struggles, all hurtling towards you in chariots with spears at the ready. Perhaps you're finding it hard to keep your trust in God because of an issue in your life that's making being a Christian feel like a long, hard slog. Or perhaps there's a recurrent temptation that feels like it's going to get the better of you one day. You want to scream at God, "God, it was better before I was a Christian. I could have just carried on living happily as I was. But you brought me here, and I feel like I'm in danger of making a complete fool of myself in public when I mess up once too many times." The psalmist says, "I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" The Bible gives words of frustration to those for us to speak to God. Words when we feel hemmed in. Another psalm says, "Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were." But God's rescue is never half-hearted. He always finishes the job because he's always faithful to his promises. He promised to rescue the Israelites from Egypt, and he wasn't about to let them die just a few days after that first Passover. Verse 19, the angel of the Lord, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. God kept his people's enemies at bay. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. God performed one of the greatest miracles ever to have been seen in the course of history that night. He used the world he'd created, the creation he'd made, to forge a safe escape route for the Israelites. The wind blew and the sea parted, and there was a path for the Israelites, all 600,000 families of them, to walk where the sea had once been. They didn't have to do anything to win that rescue, did they? All they had to do was to obediently walk the path that God had made for them. They listened to God's instructions and they trusted him by putting it into action. Of course, their belief was evidenced in how they lived, wasn't it? They walked the route that God had prescribed and they were rescued. And what a rescue it was. Verse 21, the waters were divided. Verse 22, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. Just imagine how you felt being one of those Israelites that night. You'd gone from utter despair to overwhelming relief and then into joy like you had never experienced before. They thought they were goners. They thought they were going to die there in the desert that night. But God had other plans. Plans to keep his promises. Plans to thoroughly rescue his people. What a God they had. And he's the same yesterday, today and forever. So what a God we have. So whatever it might be that you're facing today, whatever it is you might face tomorrow, next week, next month or next year, remember that our God is a rescuing God. He will not let you fall prey to the enemies from which he has just rescued you. You see, even when you die, and we all will die, God will see you safe across that final Red Sea, across death, and into the other side, where you'll be with him forever, as long as you are trusting Jesus and walking the way that he's prescribed by following his lead. Listen to him. He's given us a route through the trouble that we face. Open up his word, the Bible, and ask him to show you. Ask someone you think might know the Bible a little better than you do to give you some help in understanding it. We've got a few people who are doing that with others. I'm looking at the Bible with somebody at the moment and absolutely loving it. It will be their pleasure to help you. Then walk the way God has prescribed for you. Listen to him. Trust him. Trust our faithful God who thoroughly rescues us from our greatest enemies. So trust our faithful God who leads his people to safety. Trust our faithful God who rescues us from our enemies. Finally, trust our faithful God who defeats his enemies, who are also our enemies. As the clouds that separated the Egyptians from the Israelites that night lifted, so Pharaoh saw exactly what was going on. Imagine his disbelief showing on his face as he saw the Red Sea split in two with walls of water on either side and the Israelites just walking through it. Up goes the cry, after them! Verse 23. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, that's getting towards dawn, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud and the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." But it was too late. The Egyptians had once too often refused to listen to God's clear and present word. 10 times during the 10 plagues, they'd refused to repent, to turn away from their own life, and to put their trust in God and walk God's way. God had given them plenty of time, plenty of chances, but eventually it was too late. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Verse 27. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. You see, rescue for the Israelites eventually meant judgment for the Egyptians. God will one day put all of his enemies, all of our enemies, under our feet when we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places through faith in him. Our enemies, God's enemies, will finally be defeated when they meet Jesus face to face. It'll be as if Jesus stands there ushering us into his brand new creation, all of those who trust him and have asked for his forgiveness for themselves. Then he'll roll back the sea of judgment onto everyone and everything that's rejected him as Lord and Saviour. Of course, just like Pharaoh, they'll have no excuse. Pharaoh heard God's voice clearly. He asked Moses to pray for him and saw the effects of prayer. He even asked Moses and Aaron for the priestly blessing. But when he heard God's voice, he wanted nothing to do with it. He hardened his heart. Please don't be a Pharaoh. But Christian, follower of Jesus, know this. One day, you'll be separated from your troubles as far as the east is from the west. That sin that you struggle with, that doubt that you have, that temptation that won't go away, illness, relationship problems, depression, false truth claims from outside of the church that attack the Christian faith and make us feel insecure, false versions of Christianity even within the church that attempt to snatch us away. They'll all have been swept away, and you'll be safe in the new home God has in store for you. Trust our faithful God who defeats his enemies and our enemies. So to begin to close, trust our faithful God who leads his people to safety. Trust our faithful God who rescues us from our enemies, and trust our faithful God who defeats his enemies who are our enemies. God made promises to the Israelites, didn't he? He kept every single one of them because he is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he'll deliver on every single one of the promises he's made in Jesus. Everything that he's promised in Jesus, he will bring about. He's promised to save all of those who trust Jesus. All of those who've said they're sorry for going their own way in life, turned round and followed Jesus and trusted in Jesus for all they need. Whoever they are, whatever their past, whatever troubles they face today or tomorrow. That means if that's not you yet, if you're not trusting Jesus for yourself yet, today might be the day to begin trusting him for yourself. He will save his people because he's promised. He did it for the Israelites
He'll do it for us.
Of course, the greatest rescue was that won by Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? It was equally unlikely and yet equally dramatic as that Red Sea rescue. And the future rescue, the final one, when Jesus returns, he will rescue his people from this broken world, and he will take us to his fixed new creation, where we'll finally see him face to face. He'll do it because he said he will. And he's got form, hasn't he? He's always kept his promises. He always will keep his promises. Behold the power of his word. I will trust his promise. His word is strong enough for me. I will trust his promise. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your character, that you are strong and faithful and true, and that there is nothing that you've promised to do that you won't accomplish. Thank you that you save your people. Thank you that you thoroughly rescue us. And thank you that you will defeat all of our enemies once and for all one day. Please keep us trusting Jesus. And if we haven't yet put our trust in him, please would you make today the day that we do. In his name we pray. Amen.